Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see now the mystery taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings in the night, my love I bring to you.
Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Can I get an update? Are you reading me any clearer, any better? Avia, can you read me better? Can I get an update? Thank you very much, Avia. Thank you very much, Brother Cartrell. The Most High did that quite simple then. You know what the Most High said? Shut it up. Start all over again. So I shut it down and start all over again. Instead of trying to patch in through the phone. If you trust in the Most High, he can lead you in the right direction. As we do on the Real Talk for Real People show. That's why we try to bring these studies to you. In order you can understand the dynamics of the studies. How you can get the best out of a relationship. And so tonight's study show is about coming to the conclusion of Nehemiah. And tomorrow, Most High willing, we will start in Esther, Queen Esther. That's not her Hebrew name. That's her. I think they got another name. I can't recall it just now. That may be her Hebrew name, but there was another name that said who she was. That, now, Esther may be her Hebrew name. But I'm pretty sure Cartier can enlighten us upon that. There's two names mentioned in regards to her. So, but we'd like to share these intensive studies with you. So you can get a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why are we doing this? Personally speaking, for each individual in this nation to get a comprehensive, fundamental understanding. You're a Hebrew, whether you like it or not. You're blooded in, whether you not like it or not. Or whether you're following the mandates of the Most High, you're set under his auspices. There's no way you can get around it. You're blooded in, and you're blooded out. And that's the only way you can get out, that you're not blooded in. And so if someone says, you're not a Hebrew Israelite, well, is that right? Well, I suspect that people can say something about their so-called gender, binary, non-binary, gay, trans, lesbian, whatever. Don't I have a right to say, as an individual, about my ethnicity? Are they the only right to people to make a determination, sexually speaking, as to who they are? Yeah, I'm a trans. I'm a non-binary. I'm a fairy. I'm a dog with wings. So you mean to tell me Yom Suvarit cannot say that he's a Hebrew Israelite? Just because some other people say that I'm not? Well, I don't go along with it. If it's okay with people of the alphabet, boys and girls, to say who they are sexually, shouldn't it be quite okay for me to acknowledge that I am Hebrew Israelite? My ethnicity? Come on, man. What gives them the right any more than me to say who I am and they're saying what they are? Come on, man. That ain't right. And I don't concur with that. So that's why some of these studies are essential. And that's why, and they'll tell you, y'all black folk, we ain't black folk, that's a misdemeanor. Black is empty, it's spaceless, it has no definition. That's a false construct, but that's what they call us. And they'll say, y'all don't need to be worried about y'all past. Let it go. But they'll cheer the Jews. Yeah, don't never forget. No, don't you never forget. But they tell you, yeah, just forget about it. That ain't right. That's why these studies are essential. So you can understand who you are, what you are, and what you should be doing, and why you got here. What keeps you here? Now, they will tell you, no, don't think about that. You don't need to know why you got here, how you got over here. What you need to be doing is keep running away from Muslims shooting you. Keep running away from Muslims stealing, killing your women. They come up missing on a milk carton. Keep running away from y'all being able to actually control your communities because you don't control anything. Yeah, yes, we do. You know, I'm a diverge off this for a second. Okay, let me diverge. Can I digress for a minute? I'm going to tell you how we are. We are serious about silly things, as Neely Fuller Jr. says, and I have to concur with the elder. We're serious about silly things and silly about serious things. You want me to repeat that so you can get an understanding? We are serious about silly things. And let me give you a case in point. I saw a gentleman in the store quite recently. He had a Dallas Cowboy hat and shirt on. And I was jokingly, I say, you can put that up, bro. And you can see the hostility filled in his face. Well, what team you got? I said, I ain't got no team. I don't own no team. I don't own a stock in a team, which he did. But he was so immured about the Dallas Cowboy as if he had a stock in the team. He was ready to die, ready to kill for it. He didn't own one stock, and that meant much more to him. The Dallas Cowboys, who is part of a universal racist organization, that meant more to him than precious life itself. But if I had mentioned to him, no, bro, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. That stuff don't matter to me because it doesn't mean anything. I'm just making fun. What you mean? What you saying? What you trying to say? You a Jew? I said, no, I'm not a Jew. That's a big difference. Okay? I may be part of the Yehudite tribe, but I'm not a Jew. I may be part of the Benjamin tribe, but I'm not a Jew. I may be part of the Levite tribe, but I'm not a Jew. I may be part of the other 10 tribes, but I'm not a Jew. Okay? That's a big difference. That's Jewish, trying to be part of. Okay? I'm not Jewish. That means I'm not trying to be part of. Okay? He'd have been, let me go back to the other part. Okay? We are serious about silly things. And we are silly about serious things. Man, you ain't no Jew. I told you I wasn't no Jew. What is you saying, man? Well, what you mean Hebrew Israel? I said, those are people from the nation. I'm from a nation of 12 tribes, 13 actually. I don't know what tribe that is because we were taken into captivity and scattered universally. Oh, man, you crazy as hell. But I love them Dallas Cowboys. Now you're getting what I'm coming from. We're serious about silly things. It's silly about serious things. I concur with Neely Fuller Jr. And that is another primary reason why we need these studies. They're essential to your growth and development. It will tell you who you are, what you are, and what you should be doing, and what got you in this situation you find yourself in, universally speaking. And that's why these studies are essential to your growth and development. And a lot of you may think, Cottrell and I, we are debative and argumentative. No, Cottrell and I, we don't fuss, cuss, and fight. Just because the loudest people and the most debatable people in the room, that don't make them right. If someone came on the show tonight, they said, Yom Suf Arif, you are an asshole. I said, well, that may be true. You're a stupid nigger. Well, I've been called that. I've been called worse. You want to debate with me? Nope. Y'all can talk for himself. I don't have to talk for y'all. I just tell you what y'all said. I'm not in the business of cussing, fussing, and debating people. I'm not in the business of loud talking, my brother, because at the end of the day, although you agree or don't agree with me, you're still my brother and sister. So it's pointless for me to become a public spectacle before our enemies on Blog Talk Radio Station, Fool's Book, or any other social medium. I'm not in the business of showing up and show off and showboat. I'm in the business of trying to unify a nation and bring us together under the auspices of Yah. Although some like to believe in idols, I'm not one. I don't like to believe in the idols that my enemies provide for me and think that's going to solve my problem. And I'm not going to debate the issue one way or the other. I'm going to say what thus said Yah said. And then you can take it up with Yah. If you want to debate with Yah, Yah is quite capable of debating for himself. You remember Moses, the first lawgiver of the Most High? You remember what he told Moses? Moses, hey, calm down, brother. Chill out. Chill out. They ain't got no problem with what you're saying because that's what I'm telling you to tell them. That ain't your thing. That's my thing. They got a problem with me, and I know how to handle it. So, far as I'm concerned, just because you're the most debatablest and the most loudest in the room don't make you right. The only thing right is the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and bless his holy name. Okay? And so, if people know about anointing and how the anointing came about, they wouldn't be going out trying to anoint everybody. There's a proper anointing. There's a proper combination of oils in order to use for that anointing. And the first so-called Christ, some of you like to call, was Aaron. Was Aaron the high priest. Then our king, King Saul, was anointed with that proper combination of oil. Then King David and all the high priests. So before you get to running off at the mouth, you need to study something. Study something so you can tell somebody. Don't come telling me what somebody told you. Come tell me what you studied on your own. Because we're, if truth be told, we all Masonic. If you really want to know the truth about it, the high priest, Aaron, Moses' brother, King Saul, King David, all the high priest. See, that's why I said these studies are essential. I'm not one country, I'm not one to come over here and argue and fuss and fight with folks. We ain't got no time with that. So if you're here to understand, get a comprehensive understanding, you're here because you love Yah, because you got the right heart, and the Most High says you have to have the right heart, and you're here because you got the right spirit, which is humble to Yah, not Yom Suf Ha'ri, not Cartrell. You're here for the right reason. But if you're here trying to get at us, trying to debate, hey, don't take it up with me. Contrary on that, we are only saying what thus said the Most High says. Okay? We don't add nothing to it. We don't take anything away from it. So whatever Yah says, we say. We're just spokespersons for Yah. And so if you got an issue with what is taught on the Real Talk for Real People show, don't come on this show looking for a debate, an argument, fuss, cuss, and fight. Because you're not going to get it. What you're going to get, common courtesy, and that's about it. We're going to listen to what you said. We said, all right, well, we said what we said. We stand by what we said, what the Most High said. So if you got an issue with it, take it up with y'all. Don't take it up with us. That ain't what we said. We ain't created nothing. We ain't the creator. You ain't the creator. Whoever told you not the creator? So maybe you're misinformed. That's why it's essential, again, for you to be down with these studies. Stop trying to be contestable, debatable about everything. Don't know anything about anything. Your enemies gave you a God. You're just happy to have an idol. And he ain't did nothing for you. Well, who gave you the idol? Our enemy, the Roman Catholic Church, by way of Constantine, the Roman emperor. Is it working out for you 402 years ago? Well, we just going to wait on him. Okay. I'm not waiting on anything. Only thing I'm waiting on is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm trying to help reunite a nation to understand the concept of nation. Okay? Under the Most High. Understand why we got in the situation we find ourselves in universally. Why are we such a hot mess that we're serious about silly things and silly about serious things? As Neely Fuller Jr. said, and I concur with it. A 90-year-old elder. Oh, it's true. Well, do I have any contemporary comments to say before I turn the mic over to my dear brother and friend, Cartrell? No. I got a public service announcement, though. Go to Yah, let me get it right. Go, Cartrell, be correcting me. Let me get it right. I pulled it up because I didn't want Cartrell correcting me. I don't mind him correcting me, but I want to be correct this time around. Because Cartrell, I don't mind correction because I'm humble like that, but it's got to be Yah's correction. Yah will gather us. .gov. And on that site, you can go. And you can get access to IDs that refer you as in a nation, your picture IDs. You go get flags, our flag that represents our nation, not a group, not a many-splintered operation, a united side operation. Because the Most High said, I want y'all to do when y'all in these land, when y'all in captivity. I want y'all to pray and say, please forgive us, forgive me, forgive our forefathers for breaking that contract. And I want y'all to take care of one another. I want y'all to look after one another. I want you to take care of widow women. I want you to take care of orphans and whatnot. I want you really to take care of each other. See, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Because nowhere in no captivity, if you studied about, we were doing half the things these people telling you. If it ain't in there, it ain't supposed to be done, and you certainly should be leaning to your own understanding, bringing to Yah whatever you, strange fire to Yah. Just like Aaron's sons that got him in trouble. Got him dead, truth be told. See, stop doing what you want to do, man. That does not work. You have to do what the Most High said, and you got to study his word. What did it say in the Psalms? The Most High footsteps is your pathway. Not Yom Suf, not Katrell, not your many splendid leader, or whoever you're thinking about. We're one nation under Yah. We were, still is, and always will be. And ain't gonna nothing gonna change. I don't care if your enemy gave you an idol and you stuck on stupid about it. It ain't gonna work for you. It hadn't worked in 402 years in counting. And it's still. But that's neither beside the point. That's why you need these studies. And as I said, the public service announcement, Yah go to our site. Katriel and I, we are executive elders on this site. Yah will gather us.gov. On this site, you can have access to ID, flags. You can have access to exemption letters and so on and so forth. Meaning, if you fill out the information as far as the exemption letters are concerned, you download it, type it up, take it to your job or whatnot, whatever you want to do with it. Take it to your job. The nation will support you legally. We will support you. If they fire you on your job, only thing you got to do is contact us. Contact Brother Shemiah. His telephone number should be provided. The elders are on one of those pages that you had to fill out. You will see me, Yom Suf Arif. You will see Katrell. You will see elders and some women. They're elders too. But you will see elders that are on there, and we will defend you. We will go up against these people in this country. We will look out for your best interests. And so, because we know you have a right for exemptions if you want to take these vaccines, and they can't force upon you, and they can't make you lose your job just because, okay? Just like, not like they're trying to do Kyrie, the fellow from the Brooklyn Nets. Ain't nobody looking out for him. But if Kyrie came to the site and filled out one of those things, I assure you, Kyrie, we would have your back. That being said, let me bring my brother and friend on, Katrell from New York City. Katrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless you, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All glory, honor, and praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Sufari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you. First, let me go back to the part before you said Yom Suf Arif. Praise the holy name of Yah and bless his holy name. And thank you, Katrell.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you very much. If it wasn't for the Most High, I wouldn't have made it. You better believe it. I wouldn't have made it. Bless his holy name.
That website is yahwillgather.us.
Okay, I knew I was going to stand corrected. I stand corrected. Now y'all got the right way. I mean, so go to that site. Check it out.
Yahwillgather.us.
Y'all got it? Okay. Write it down. Tell them again, Katrell.
Yeah, it's not yahwillgatherus.gov. It's yahwillgather.us. You said it all. It's time for us to come together as a nation, to put our disputes behind us because our people are in crisis, and to submit ourselves to the Most High's word, to the Most High's will, to the Most High's plan. And we're reading about our people, our fathers that did it, Ezra and Nehemiah, and the 50-something thousand people that was with them. These brothers need to read that historic lesson to show how we worked in harmony with one another, and we need to take note of how they worked in harmony with one another for the mission that the Most High gave them. So
exactly.
They were not deterred. They didn't, you know, get tripped up by arguing with their own people or fighting their enemies. They were laser focused on what they had to do. So we have to be laser focused in what the Most High is telling us to do in gathering ourselves and making our people aware of the Most High's plan. And it's going to affect some people one way and other people another way. Because we know when the prophet spoke, everybody didn't take heed to what they were saying. So we're speaking the same words that they're speaking, and we know everybody's not going to take heed to the words of the prophets that the Most High sent.
Well, you know, Cottrell, I'd rather for my Elohim, your Elohim, to show the proper way of anointing. That's on the head, not on nobody's feet, okay? I don't know where they got that from. Our kings were anointed on their head. Our high priests were anointed on their head. I don't know where they got their feet stuff from. I just want to share that.
Brother has some ashy feet. And you know what we do.
So you
put that cocoa butter, shea butter.
I guess I'm anointed too, because I use it on my feet.
You can even use olive oil.
Shea butter, yep. That ain't
you
the combination. But that ain't the combination of the oil that the Most High gave to the high priest. And couldn't nobody make it, and couldn't nobody take it home for personal uses. Okay? You couldn't take it out of the temple for personal uses. People need to stop lying, okay? I don't know nowhere it was taken home for personal use, for cosmetics. Okay? It was only for two reasons. High priest and king anointments.
And really, how important was it? First of all, Aaron, the first anointed, along with his sons, he lost two of his sons in the process.
Exactly.
And insofar as he came
to doing something they didn't have no business, Cottrell. Doing something they didn't have no business doing.
Insofar as King Saul, he was anointed by the prophet Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And King David would not kill him, even though he had the opportunity to kill him on several occasions. He said, it's not for me.
I would not touch the Most High
on the Most High.
Even though the Most High said he would be king. He said, well, if you made him king, if you want him, you take him out.
And he himself was anointed.
Exactly.
So anybody had the right to take out another anointed, it was him. But he had respect and honor
for the rules.
The position that King Saul had. No, I'm not putting my hands on Yah's anointed. Let Yah take care of him.
Well, we put our mouths on
Yah's anointed. Everybody is not Yah's anointed.
Well, Cartier, we put our mouths on his anointed. Nowadays, I said, nowadays, we put our mouths on each other a lot. Elders,
we do what?
I mean, young folks talking to elders like they're elders. Young women talking to elders and their mamas and whatnot like they're elders. That's not our protocol. That's not the way the Most High operates. He always called for the elders, the high priests, the Levites, and whatnot. He called for these young folk. He called for them one time. That's called all the folks that died off going, getting ready to go over to Jordan. And then it was two elders with them. It was Caleb and Joshua, who they had to listen to. They got the game twist. They cussed some folks who can on, bad mouthing the elders and whatnot. Talking about they following Yah. Go ahead now. Stop it.
So, Most I said, honor the hoary head. We must honor our elders. I know when we were growing up, we honored our elders. We had mad respect for our elders.
Exactly.
But thing is upside down, inside out, twisted upside down. So it ain't what it used to be.
No, it ain't what it used to be.
Is broken. The standards are broken.
Exactly.
How do we recover from this?
Exactly. The Most High word. That's how we recover. Following the mandates of the Most High. Which we're about to get into study now. Cartrell is done with his studies because we're ending Nehemiah As I said, we were going tomorrow into Queen Esther. You'll understand about the dynamics of relationship. You'll understand about this young, beautiful woman who had became queen. Let me give you a little tidbit. And although she was queen, her uncle Mordecai, she trusted. She humbled herself for her uncle. She was queen. She knew protocol of our nation. Just because she was queen of a different nation, she still was a Hebrew Israelite, and she still respected the man that raised her, Mordecai. She heeded his counsel. Thus, by doing so, she helped save the people and herself and her family. And she had humility. She said, I'm queen, you old fool. You don't know what you're talking about. No, she knew the rules, the fundamentals of this nation. And we all got to learn the rules and the fundamentals of this nation. Go ahead, Cartrell.
And therein lies the problem.
We don't have the discipline or the fortitude to really study our history, our culture, our roots. And it's amazing to me because other people study us more than we study ourselves.
You better
believe
it. So
we get superficial knowledge. We get doctrines from these teachers that are out here teaching certain doctrines. And you can tell by what they're teaching, our people don't know the protocol or the order of our nation as a nation. Because you turn it into a religion, which it is not. Because all we've been reading about is a nation of 12 tribes. So especially in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, we can see that coming back from captivity, they were so far from the Torah or the laws of Moses that they cried, they threw dirt on their head, they put sackcloth and ashes on. They cried, and they asked Yah to forgive them. And in that effort, Yah blessed them.
Exactly.
So most of our people don't know the history of Ezra and Nehemiah. You ask them, what happened with Ezra and Nehemiah? They're going to ask you what you're talking
that?
About.
Now, who were that?
Who that?
All right, y'all. Katya, have you done with your commentaries? I certainly am. We can conclude
yes,
this book of Nehemiah, and the Most High bless us. Think, people. Think. Well, most important, here's what I suggest before we get started. Turn to the east facing Jerusalem. Say a silent prayer to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Bless his holy name and ask him to help you have a mind to have some understanding. Okay? Because the Most High can shut it down now. So what I mean by that is, Cartrell, I can lead you to the water. You won't drink. You can't see. But the Most High can open and enlighten you. Well, you said, man, dog, that was so easy. That was so understandable. That's what we're trying to get you to. Turn to chapter 13 of Nehemiah. May the Most High bless us. At that time, they read to the people from the book of Moses. See, studied. They studied. And it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite might ever enter. They didn't even know that. If they were doing everything they were supposed to be doing in captivity, they would have known that. They didn't even know which our cousins, the Ammonites and the Moabites, were our cousins from the lineage of Noah that he had with his two daughters. And they were some despicable sorts. And the Most High said that no Ammonite or Moabite might ever enter the congregation because they are despicable. Since they did not meet Israel with bread. Because, see, they had an opportunity. Our cousin had an opportunity to make amends with Yah. Well, what did they do? They doubled down on the madness. When we were crossing into the land, they had an opportunity to make it right. But here's what they did. They did not meet Israel with bread and water. And also, in addition to that, they had a guy to put a spell on us, Balaam, against them to curse them. But our Elohim turned the curse into a blessing, which he can do for you, no matter who those individuals are. When they heard the teachings, when they studied the teachings, they separated all the alien admixtures. If you had sex with the Moabites, our cousins, the Ammonites, and you had offsprings, hey, man, that's just that on that. You, I can't deal with hard, the game code. Because that ain't on the children, but that was on you. And so sometimes people got to suffer the consequences of our actions. And although they didn't know, it was because of ignorance. They didn't know. And they were in captivity in a foreign land. And they didn't know because they didn't study to know. But when they found out, they didn't try to tell Yah, hey, I got this boy mixed with this Mumnite woman, or this son mixed with this Moabite man. You got to accept him. Yah ain't got to accept nothing. He told you what time it is. Yah don't change. Yah says, my ways are not your ways. The way you think, I don't think like that. When I give you instructions, you need to follow them instructions. Don't bring me no shady deal. I'm talking about that's the way it's going to be. And they didn't bring Yah a shady deal. They said, okay, all right. We got mixture children. They can't come up in here. That's what the Most High said. So here's the deal, fellow students. Are you going to do what you do? Lean to your own understanding? Are you going to do what the Most High says? Which got us in the situation we find ourselves in as I speak. But they did the right thing. And what did they do? Instead of arguing with Yah, they separated all the alien mixture that they had with these women and men and so on from Israel. Earlier, the priest Elizabeth, a relative of Tobiah, who had been appointed over the rooms in the house of Elohim, had assigned to help, assigned to him a large room where they stored the meal offerings, the frankincense, the equipment, tithes, the grain, wine, oil, and the dues of the Levites, singers and gatekeepers, and gifts for the priests. During all this time, I was in Jerusalem. This is Nehemiah talking. But in the 32nd year of King Ataxerxes of Babylon, I went to the king. Only after a while did I ask to leave the king to return. See, he went back to the king because he knew he had a duty. But then after a little while, you know, he gave some time to go, and he asked the king to return to Jerusalem. When I arrived in Jerusalem, I learned of the outrage perpetrated by Elizabeth on behalf of Tobiah and assigning him a room. Tobiah shouldn't have been, he assigned a man a spot in the temple. Tobiah, the man that was after Nehemiah, you didn't set him up in the Most High house, assign him a room. So, and he said it was an outrage, signing him a room in the courts of the house of Yah. I was greatly displeased and had all the household gear of Tobiah thrown out of Nehemiah didn't play. He evicted him. He evicted him even before he had notification from the courts. He just threw him out because he had no business being up in the first place. And Elizabeth had no business assigning him a room up in Yah's house anyway. So Nehemiah, loving righteousness, did the right thing. And there's consequences when you are doing the right thing. Maybe not to you, but some of the people you're dealing with. In the case of Tobiah, I was greatly displeased and had all the household gear of Tobiah thrown out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms after this guy had been up in there. And had the equipment of the house of Yah and the meal offering and frankincense put back. He had taken all this stuff out of there. Then he said, I had it put back where it's supposed to go. And then discovered that portions of the Levites had not been contributed. And that the Levites and singers who performed the temple services had made off. He said they weren't providing what they were supposed to provide to take care of these people. We're duty bound and morally obligated to provide for these people back in the land. But apparently they slacked up. So they went back to cultivating in their land because they had to eat. I censured the governors. I got them straight, saying, how is it the house of Yah has been neglected? What y'all been doing? Y'all ain't been doing your job. Then I recalled the Levite. I told him, come on back home. Installed him again in that post. And all of Yehuda bought the tithes as they were required to of grain, wine, and oil into the treasuries as they were required to. I put the treasuries in the charge of the priest Shelemiah, the scribe Zodok, and Padiah of the Levites. Assisting them was Hannah, son of Zakur, son of Methaniah, For they were regarded as trustworthy. They were I put trustworthy people in charge. And it was their duty to distribute the portion to their brothers, the brother Levites. Oh, my Elohim. Now he's addressing Yah. Remember me, favorite. See, ain't no sense you telling, oh, Yom Sufari, I can't do nothing for you. Ain't no sense you saying, oh, Katrael, because ain't nothing Katrael can do for you. But here's who can do for all. And he knew this, and you must learn this. Oh, my Elohim, remember me favorably for this. And do not blot out the devotion I showed to the house of my Elohim and its intended. At that time, I saw men in Yehuda trading wine presses on the Sabbath. They was working on the Sabbath. And others bringing heaps of grapes and loading them onto asses. Also, wine, grape, fig, and all sort of goods. Bringing them into Jerusalem. They knew better. On the Sabbath. I admonished them there. And then for selling provisions. Now we had people of other nations, Tyrians, who lived there. Bought fish and all sort of wares. And sold them on the Sabbath to the Yehudites. And they were buying in Jerusalem. I sent the nobles of Yehuda saying to them, what evil thing is this that you're doing? Profaning the Sabbath day in the land, in our land. What evil thing is this that you are doing? Profaning the Sabbath day. This is just what your ancestors, that's what got us in the situation that we got in and we trying to get out of. And people didn't understand it now, and people didn't understand it then. In the land. That's what got them kicked out the land. That's what got some of us not going back to the land. Same thing. And he pointed to that out to them. And he says, what evil thing is this that you're doing, profaning the Shabbat day? This is just what your ancestors did. For it, Yah brought all this misfortune on this city, cause and effect. Now you give cause for further wrath against Israel by profaning the Shabbat. You are doubling down on the masses, just like they say in Alcoholic Anonymous, the definition of insanity, which all of us are, still are, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Surely we're doing the very same thing, Katria. Surely we're doing the very same thing, fellow students. That's why we hadn't got out the mess we're in. Not only of the Shabbat in the land, but of our mistreatment toward one another in captivity, toward our abuse toward our women in captivity, toward the women abuse of the men in captivity, prostituting our women, tattooed and feet to head, not a tattered sense in their head. Drugs, alcohol addiction, rampant, not taking care of the family, and not giving a damn about it one way or the other, looking for the government when it's our duty as brothers and sisters in this nation to look out for our own breast centers. We'd rather stand in cheese lines instead of each one looking out for the other one. As the Most High said, y'all need to be crying out to me. You need to be getting things right in your life, getting rid of that evil in your life. And you need to be taking care of one another. But we have conceded that point. We want our enemies to take care of us. Matter of fact, we love our enemies, God, anyway. Instead of us doing what Yah said, crying out to me, confessing your faults and the faults of your forefathers, it got you in a situation you find yourself in, universally speaking. That's what Yah is saying. And that's what Nehemiah is saying to our brothers and sisters, our founding fathers of this nation. That's what got us in this situation. The very thing you're doing now is not going to remedy the problem. It's going to add more wrath to us. And what some of us are doing to each other by virtue of doing what we're not supposed to do is adding wrath to each other. That's why we're killing each other. Dime a dozen. That's why we rap, rap songs about it and glory in it. That's why we joined the LGBTQYXYZ and trying to get at you and me organizations. That's why we joined the Black Lives Matter movement. That's why we try to join a voting bloc. We're doing everything what the Most High said. The Most High ain't told you to do none of that. That's why we joined the feminist movement. We're trying to get the solution the way we want to get the solutions, not the way the Most High says get the solutions. And Nehemiah is pointing this out to them. As Cartrell and I, we try to point the very same thing to you. And he says, when the shadows fill the gateway of Jerusalem at the approach of the Sabbath, I gave orders that the doors be closed. We're going to stop all this. And ordered them not to be open until after the Shabbat. I stationed some of the servants at the gate so that no goods should enter on a Shabbat. Once or twice, the merchants and the vendors and all sorts of wares spent the night outside of Jerusalem. But I told them, I warned them, saying, what do you mean spending the night alongside the walls? If you do it again, I put these paws on you. I like this. Nehemiah had a little bit of Joshua in him, didn't he? I lay hands on you. Nehemiah went playing. He said, look, I got my folks straight. Now, let me get y'all straight. Y'all ain't part of this nation. Y'all staying out here. Y'all trying to encourage this. But I'm going to tell you, if I catch you laying out here alongside this wall again, I'm going to lay these hands on you. Sometimes you can't play with folks. And Nehemiah wasn't about to play with it. He wasn't about to sugarcoat it. He said, what do you mean by spending the night alongside the wall? If you do so again, I'll lay hands on you. And then they did not come as on the Shabbat. See, that's what you got to get folk told. See, Nehemiah didn't sugarcoat it, especially when they were of another nation. He was much gentler when it came to us, but he was still serious. Come on, man. That's what got us in this situation. Stop it. But to other nations, he was not quite so gentle. If I catch you laying outside this gate, I'll put these paws on you. Okay? I'll lay hands on you. I ain't playing with you. You know you don't be set. Y'all know us far better than we know ourselves. Just like today. And you know you don't be in this city selling nothing on no Shabbat. In our land, in the nation. They catch you doing it again, I'm going to put these paws on you. Got to love him. And from then on, they did not come on the Shabbat. I gave orders to the Levites to purify themselves because they got dirty behind this and come and guard the gates to preserve the sanctity of the Shabbat at home in the land. This too, oh my Yah, remember to my credit what I did and spare me in accord with your abundant faithfulness. Most High, restore my soul for your name's sake, for what I've done. Also, at this time, I saw that the Yehudites had married Ashdodites, Ammonites, and Moabite women. A good number of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and the language of those various nations and did not know how to speak Yehudin. Excuse me. I censored them, cursed them, flogged them, tore out their hair and adjured them by Yah, saying, you should not give your daughters in marriage to their sons or take any of their daughters for your sons or yourself. Man, women, this is something serious. That's what he's saying. I'm going to put these paws on you. Y'all think this is a game? I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And he got up with him. Yeah, he got physical with him. Because he knew it was something serious. He knew it was something that could affect the whole nation. I mean, you think you're doing this for yourself personally, but whatever you do personally affects this whole nation. It's a cause and effect, a domino effect. He knew it. And he wasn't about to play with him on this. And he said, you should not give your daughters in marriage to their sons or take their daughters for your sons or yourselves. It is just such things that King Solomon of Israel sinned it. That's what got King Solomon to fall away from Yah. All them strange wives, all those strange concubines. See, a strange man or woman can get you pulled away from Yah quicker than anything in the drugstore. You think I'm lying? All right. You married somebody that ain't in your nation. And marry somebody that hears the Most High. Them folk get you pulled away from Yah so quick. And King Solomon spoke, he wrote about it. He told you about it. He finally came to his senses. But even Nehemiah, through his studies, that's, he only knew that because he had studied that. He said, that what got King Solomon of Israel offended. Among the many nations there was not a king like him. He was the smartest man in the world. And so well loved was he by his Elohim that Yah made him king over Israel. Yet, here we go. Yet foreign women caused him to sin. They will pull you from Yah. How then can we act resistance in doing this great? How can we do the same thing? Breaking faith with our Elohim by marrying foreign women. Some of the sons of Yehoiada, sons of the high priest, Elizabeth, was a son-in-law of Shabbat, Sanballat, the Horonite. I drove him away from me. Since he didn't want to change, I drove him away. And he was a son-in-law. He was a son-in-law. Elizabeth was the son-in-law of Shabbat, which was of a different nation. So he drove Sabala, the Horonite, and drove him away. You ain't supposed to be up in there, player. Remember, to their discredit, for my Yah, how they polluted the priesthood, the contract of the priests and the Levites. I purged them of every foreign, and you got to get rid of every foreign element in your mind. Whatever these United States of America, whatever this Western Hemisphere tell you, you got to get rid of all that way of thinking. You are Eastern people trying to emulate Western culture that does not work for you, works on us, make us kill one another on drive-bys, make us sell drugs to one another, make our daughters out of strip whores and whores walking the street, disrespect our elders and so on and so forth. As Cartrell alluded to, everything is in and out, up and down. That's what they got for you. And I ain't going to sugarcoat it either, like Nehemiah. I ain't going to play no games with you. Because if you're looking at a hot mess, it's because we're trying to follow. We're trying to emulate our enemies. And it does not work for us. It has not worked in 400 years, 402 years in county, and it will never, ever work. He said, I purged them of every foreign element, arranged for the priests and the Levites to work each at his task by itself. I put him on shift for the wood offerings to be brought at fixed times and for the first fruits. Oh, my Elohim, remember to my credit and restore my soul. What he's basically saying, for your name's sake, I done put in work. I done put in some effort. And the question is, are you putting in work? Are you putting in some effort that you can say and that you should say? If you're putting in that work, restore my soul, Most High, for your name's sake, and bless in your holy and precious name. You see what I did? I kept it real. I didn't sugarcoat anything. I didn't tell the folk, oh, yeah, go on, marry them folk, man. That's all right. Bring them on up in here. Hang out. I knew the rules. And I followed the rules. And I told them, y'all got to follow the codification. Y'all can't make up stuff. Y'all can't be mad at these folk bring up here. Think y'all going to accept that? That's what got us King Solomon in trouble. And we going to acquiesce to the same type behavior? They pull people from y'all. They don't bring people to y'all. They're not conducive to us as a nation. They are destructive to us as a nation, a unified nation. Nehemiah understood that. Question is, do you? Contrary, I relinquish the mic, my brother. You have the mic.
Prophet Nehemiah was a pretty amazing brother. Not only did he have wisdom, knowledge, understanding, but he'll put his hands on you. And the fact that people feared him.
Yeah.
Because he ain't have to say it twice.
No, he did.
And the people respected what he said. Because if you didn't listen the first time, he put his hands on you. Matter of fact, he ripping people's hair out. Wow.
That hurt, man. That hurt.
We blessed to not have Nehemiah in our time, because there'd be a whole lot of ripping people's hair out today.
He wasn't nothing nice. And he wasn't playing about Yah either. You wasn't going to get him in trouble with Yah.
No, he wasn't a man to play with. He wasn't no Andrew Cuomo. He's governor of Jerusalem.
You know you were over there, man. Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah. Governor Nehemiah, the prophet, will put his hands on you, son. Trying to sell stuff on the Shabbat and bring a curse upon the nation. We ain't not having that. Our people are blessed that Nehemiah ain't around today, because like I said, there'd be a lot of bald-headed people.
You're over it, man.
This brother ripping people's hair out straight up. Now listen to him and put my hands on you. And nobody said nothing back to him. He must have been badder than Joab. Joab was a bad man, but we talk about Governor Nehemiah. He wasn't playing. And he had great success. Most High was with him. And he's pleading with the Most High. You see the work I did? That wasn't playing with these fools. Put my hands on them, rip their hair out for your sake. Please remember that. And y'all said, okay, I'm going to write it down. So the generations remember that you ripped people's hair out because they was doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. If they wasn't growing bald, he sure made them bald, some of them, for a temporary time.
Yeah.
Because he was not playing. And see, that's why it's beautiful to study and to get some in-depth study. Then you see, man, hey, Nehemiah was like that now. Nehemiah put them hands on him. Yep. And because he wasn't playing about Yah. He didn't do it because of any personal angst or whatever. What he was doing because of Yah. And then because of Yah, it was about the nation. What he was saying, you're not going to mistreat Yah, and you're not going to hurt this nation. Now, you want to marry women and you want to be married to men of different names, so be it, but y'all got to get up out of here. Nah, you got to get up out of here.
He wasn't debating none of them guys. Like,
no,
you know,
he
said,
y'all got to get up out of here. This ain't no game. This is something serious. Y'all got to get up out of here. All right, Katria. Have you done that? It concludes Nehemiah. Tomorrow, be prepared to go into the next studies, which will be Queen Esther. I recommend that you study at least two or three chapters ahead. Then you'll be on point when we get in, because you'll have some understanding where we're going. But once we get there, you're gonna be totally surprised where we take you. And you're gonna be thinking it's just linear in your reading and study. But we're gonna take you all into this story. And you're going to see different dynamics and components. You're going to think just linear reading from one chapter to the next. Blah, 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 blah. No, it's much more deeper than that. It's much more colorful. And it's much more explosive. So, but I want you guys to get familiar with each chapter. But once we take you into these chapters, these studies, they're much more explosive, much more dynamic, relationship orientated. We're going to take you places that you never saw in those chapters, okay? So be prepared. Go ahead, Katria, my brother friend. I know you have a lovely song for a song for us.
Yes, sir. Psalms 98.
Okay.
Give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel for our ancient fathers who composed these songs. Like I say, there's always a message in the songs they wrote. Unfortunately, we don't have the melody. We don't hear the lyre and the harp and the cymbals and the tambourine along with these words. But I'm sure that it was beautiful music to listen to back in the day.
Yeah.
So we can only read it.
You know we know how to play instruments.
No question about it. And it probably had a harmonious tone when they spoke it in that Hebrew language. Mm-hmm. Reading it in English, so it doesn't have the same pizzazz
Right.
Doesn't even seem like a song.
Right. It doesn't rhyme in English, but I'm sure it rhymed in the language.
Exactly. So you don't get the same vibe, but you do get the message out of the song. And another powerful message in this particular song, Psalm 98. So we get thanks and praise. Do they tell you who wrote, who the author is in your book? Yeah, I'm super sorry because I don't get an author.
Let me put my glasses on. You know I turned 65 today. You know I can't see like I used to see. All right.
Uh-huh.
Let me go. Okay. No, it doesn't, Katria. No, it doesn't, fellas.
All righty then. So give thanks and praise for the composer of this song. Nobody's really plagiarizing or stealing this music,
mm-hmm.
but our music should be as sweet as this.
Exactly.
It says, sing to Yah a new song. For he has worked wonders. His right hand, his holy arm, has won him victory. Yah has magnified his victory. He has displayed his triumph in the sight of the nation. He was mindful of his steadfast love and faithfulness towards the house of Yisrael. All the ends of the earth beheld the victory of our Elohim. Rise and shout to Yah, all the earth. Break into joyous songs of praise. Sing praise to Yah with the lyre and with the lyre and melodious song, with trumpet and the blast of the horn. Raise a shout before Yah, the King. Let the sea and all that is in thunder, the world and its inhabitants. Let the rivers clap their hands and the mountains sing joyously together at the presence of Yah. For he's coming to rule the earth. He will rule the world with justice, justly, and the people with equity. So this is a song that's letting us know what's coming. And what does it say is coming? The Most High is coming. We're trying to get honor, praise, glory, thanks to the King, the Creator, because he is King. He is the other King. King of the universe, right?
Exactly. And what it says.
He used to have a... Huh?
And what it said, brother.
Yeah, Yah is King. King of the universe, King of creation, King, the Holy One of Israel, right? He makes that distinction. And you never see that in the New Testament, right? You never see phrases like this.
No.
It says, what did it say? Yah has sanctified his victory. He displayed his triumph in the sight of nations. He was mindful of his steadfast love and faithfulness towards the house of Yisrael. You never see a phrase like that. And we know that the Most High God has a special relationship with the nation of Yisrael. And that's what we're reading all through what we've read and all through what we're reading, that special relationship with this chosen nation. And over again, you'll see it reiterated. The Most High loves the nation of Israel. So we need to sing praises to him. Because nobody sings praises to the Most High like we do. That's our specialty.
Hallelujah. Well, students, another day of study has come to a conclusion. We pray that the Most High continue to order, direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It is not cute, and it definitely isn't working for you. Meaning that you must study the word of Yah. What did it say in the Psalms? The Most High footsteps are your pathways. So following the Most High word and applying it to one's life is therein lies the solution, the antidote to what all ails us. Also, we give a going away prize every night. We try to help you get a new spirit and a new heart because you're going to need that. Because if you ain't got the right spirit and the right heart, it ain't going to work for you. It's going to work on you. So we ask you to get your the heart that looks like the spirit, which will be humble, contrite, and steadfast. Not to me, not to contrary, up to the Most High. Also, a new heart. That heart would look like something King David had, who loved the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Although he had some shortcomings and some faults. He always tried to get right with God. He didn't wallow in his misery. Got his behind up, got right. Remember that time? And I know I digress with this. Remember that time when he had that illicit relationship with Bathsheba? And then set her husband up to get murdered? And when Samuel the prophet came to him, you know, he had got beside him. He said, you know how mom and dad, his boy, you can gap beside you. He said, now you can sit down somewhere. He really got beside him. He said, he wouldn't even think about none of that. So the prophet came to him, told him a story. So look at this, King, I got a little story I want to tell you. He said, go ahead. You know you my partner sent me. Yeah, I mean, you anointed me. You know, I got love for you. He said, well, you know, there was a man had one sheep. And this rich man had all them sheep. But, you know, he stole that sheep from that one man and whatnot. So did. You know, King got mad because he knew what righteousness and justice was. Because it was part of his nature. He had got beside himself. He said, what? He said, who is that man? Bring him before me because we're going to get some justice and righteousness today. He said, King, that man's you. Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite, yeah, that's you. What did he do? He didn't say like some of us, oh, man, shut up, Samuel, you old fool. You getting on my nerve. Why you got to bring that information to me? What you getting on my nerve for? I got the woman, the man dead, so that on that. It ain't nobody's fault. He should have went to bed with her when I called him back to go to bed with her. And nobody would have never known nothing. He would have thought the baby was healed, and nobody would have never known nothing if he had went by the plan, me leading to my own understanding, doing what I wanted him to do, but he wouldn't do that. No, he did not do that because he had the right heart. He knew what he would do to the wrong. He was just like Michael Jackson said, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. He looked in the mirror. Samuel, Prophet Samuel was the mirror, and he saw himself. We have to be the mirror to each other to see ourselves. Prophet Samuel was a mirror, and the king saw himself. What did the king do? He rent his clothes. He fasted and prayed. Thought that the child was dying. Yeah, go ahead.
That wasn't Samuel, the prophet.
Who was the prophet? I thought it was Samuel.
The prophet Nathan.
Oh, my bad. I said correct. I thought Young Sue just got an age today. I'm 65. Y'all please forgive me. Nathan.
And maybe my brother Yermiyahu want to wish you a happy birthday if he's still on the phone.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay, well, yep. When I finish the story, Yermiyahu, don't wish me a happy birthday.
I'm here, my brother.
Okay, let me finish the story. See, here the king had a right heart. Now, he could have blamed everybody else. He could have said his fault, her fault, they fault, everybody's fault. But now he said, I'm looking at Nathan, and I'm looking in the mirror. I'm looking at myself. I got to write hard. I got to get right with y'all. And I don't want to be far away from y'all. I want to get back with him because if I ain't with him, I got problems. So what did he do? He humbled himself before you. He had that contrite, humble spirit, and he went to y'all. He rent his clothes. He confessed. They said the child was dying. He fasted and prayed, trying to get the Most High. So when the child died, he got up, washed himself up, and cleaned his up. And his people said, King, what? You was fasting and praying. What's up? He said, let me tell you something. Y'all don't understand, y'all. I'll go to that boy before he'll come back to me. Y'all done took that baby. I done did everything I could. I done humbled myself. I was contrite. I done prayed to y'all. I fasted. But it's over. When it's over, it's over. Now it's over. And I'm gonna try to do right from here on out. So we got to learn, as the psalm said, and as the proverb says, a fool falls into mischief, but a wise man or woman falls seven times and get their behind back up and get it right with y'all and not make excuses. And so that's the kind of heart we're trying to help y'all get. You got to have a heart like that, just like King David. That's why the Most High said, King David is a man after my own heart. So if y'all says that King David is a man after his own heart, surely, if it's good enough for a king to have a heart like that, it should be good enough for you to subscribe to get a heart like that. And so that's the kind of heart that you should get to love the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Doesn't say you don't make mistakes, but to love your brothers and sisters also, you have to. It's mandated. It's a moral obligation. You duty bound to do no less. To love your brothers and sisters as yourself. And then you have to love yourself. You can't, it's virtually impossible for you to love your brothers and sisters if you don't love what looks like you. If you don't love you, you ain't going to love what looks like you. And thirst after righteousness. Continue in the studies. Continue in the action. When you found wrong, get right and get it right. Just like King Dawood did. That's the kind of gift we share with you in closing. All right. Yemnyahu, I'm here, my brother.
Shalom, shalom. What's going on, family?
Shalom, shalom, my brothers. Everything's good. How's the family?
Everything's blessed. Moving forward.
How the baby's doing?
I'm grateful for one right now. It's coming. Can come any day.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. We're gonna keep you and your family and the babies in our prayer. And so, you got any news or update you'd like to share with us?
Oh, the mission is always gonna remain the same. Like the Most High writ it thousands and thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We must separate. We must come together. We must gather. We must pull our resources together. Everything we just talked about, Nehemiah and what he was doing, we were a nation, how we have respect for one another.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And ultimately building back our pride, you know what I mean,
exactly.
For one another. We
can That's what
trust
it's about,
each other. Exactly.
That's
building back our pride so we can trust one another.
That's what it's about, Yemnyahu. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about.
Yes, it is.
Well,
yes, sir, I'm about to turn 30. You just turned 65. More Ray just turned 65. I'm about to turn 35 in about a week.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, you're 35. I'm going to tell you, when you get 65, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun.
Oh.
Ask Cartrell about that back. That back pain ain't no pain. I had to pray to Yah continually. I mean, I really had to pray to Yah continually for that back pain. Mm-hmm. For that back pain. Yo.
I'm the turtle, man. Rabbit got a gun or not. I'm making that goal, son.
Oh, me too. I'm going to keep it moving now. I ain't going to stop. It ain't going to stop till the casket drops, believe you me. But, you know, no. What is that saying? No pain, no gain. All right, Yemnyahu, do you have any closing remarks you'd like to leave with the listeners, the students?
No, we'll just continue to strive to come together in a realist manner, living together, working together, teaching the children together. You know what I mean? That's all, pretty much.
Amen, brother. Amen. I think you said a mouthful when you said that. Sticking together, working together, unifying together. That's what it's all about. Now, if people don't get that, they're totally confused about everything, Yemnyahu, and that's the problem. Well, Cartrell.
That's the only thing that matters.
That
is what a nation is. That's what we're striving and building towards. That's what these calls. That's what we're going to cause every day. To one thing. We're getting up at 3 o'clock, down at the mess hall, 500 Israelites come together, and then there's another 500 over here, another 2,000 over here, in this corner of the world, this pocket of the world, and we're, you know,
right.
Just that constant, the little by, we have to realize, really the little by little. First, me, you, and Maury Cottrell got to be doing it together.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Then we're doing a call. Then we're doing a call. And then when we do a call, we're all sitting actually together, having a meal, talking to the people on a call, gathering more people. You know what I mean? So
Yeah. Everybody should, right, Yemnyahu. Everybody should espouse that. Not only you, Cartrell, and I, me, every Hebrew Israelite, male or female, should be espousing the very same thing. Drawing each other for unification, to do what Yah said. Just come and cry to him, right, and to make confessions and to, in the process, be doing something with one another, working with one another, loving one another, supporting one another, encouraging one another, looking out for the elderly, the widow women, the women, mm-hmm. and the children. That's part of our duty. We're duty bound.
The little by little steps, you know what I mean? It takes the, you know, the people, we have to be practical. There's got to be people in Israel that knows each other and build it, and then we come together, and then more people start to talk and we get to know them, then they come together, and we just got to continue those building blocks, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it starts with the people who know each other, you know what I mean? It starts with the Israel who knows that the Israel, we've been around each other for a while. That little
right.
by little, I must not consume them at once. You don't want to be consumed by the Most High. It's very, very scary and dangerous. You know, we see that in scripture about being consumed with the Most. We want to listen. You want to be prepared. You know, as the military, you got to be prepared. You want to be prepping. I don't want to. Oh, Joy, here comes the bomb, and we in our sleepiness. We don't know what's going on. You don't want that. You want to be prepared and ready and know what's coming. The Most High.
That's why these studies, Yom Yahuwah, are essential. They're essential. And it's funny, ironic that you use the word blocks. And when you said blocks, building blocks, I thought about the wall that they rebuilt, Nehemiah, Ezra, and the other nation. And it's kind of ironic when you said building blocks. And they actually rebuilt that wall and so on and so forth.
Well, we got to go back to before we're Israel. Before we're Israelite men, we're man. We're dealing with the curse of Adam and Eve. We have to work by the sweat of our brow. We have to grind the earth. And we are Israelite men, and we're in captivity. So on top of being a man, we naturally have to double and triple grind, naturally, for the curse being upon us. So just understanding, you know what I mean, the duty in the reestablishing our pride. Yeah, women do respect us. You know what I mean? Where men, we do have, our brothers do respect our brothers. Where we know we have to come together, and we come together. We pool our resources together. You know what I mean? And we really do it. We take care of the fathers and widows. We have a home back, and we got a medical unit on our land. Where a sister gets sick, she's living on the property, we can take her together. We don't got to drive to see her and have her get abominations and all types of heathenistic things. You know what I mean? So we got to really put those things to fruition. We got to really, like you just said, the building blocks. One block at a time.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? One family at a time. One brother at a time. And allow the Most High to say he's going to do the super magnification gathering. Allow the Most High, so when the Most High brings us 500 brothers at a time, we've already been ready because we picked up one brother this year, and then the next year we picked up two brothers, and the next year we picked up four families, and you know what I mean? Understanding the gathering, how it actually is going to happen step by step, little by little, then, you know, we get big magnifications, and then we start to really see the glory and the power of the Most High.
Exactly. I concur with you, brother. I concur with you. Well, Yom Yahu, do you have any closing remarks for the students?
We just keep building, keep moving, and keep stepping in the right direction.
Okay. Well, how's the weather in Arizona, Yom Yahu?
Today I had some actual pair of Israelite brothers over here. We was chopping wood, getting ready for the colder season.
Right.
So it's sunny, but it's getting cool. Fall is here. It's like 65 today.
Let me ask you a question, y'all. Did you smoke any of your meat yet, or what?
Oh, come on. I was cooking.
Okay.
I had steaks last night for dinner.
Smoking. Okay. Kind of figured you did. I know you'd be on top.
I do a smoke charred. I do like a smoke charred thing. Where I let the fire touch it for a while, and then I close the thing, and I let it smoke for, you know, like 20. So I do a nice little mixture in between smoke and fire.
What did he say about, as far as the preservative is concerned? How long would it last?
Oh, I haven't tested it. I haven't tested it on that level. I would more so like to keep a lot of cattle, so I always have fresh meat. Okay. Like our forefathers did.
So, yeah, you like to keep fresh cattle, so you can do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it, as far as butchering.
Yeah. You got to have storehouses, though, right? You got to have, like the Most High said, we got to have storehouses. So
exactly.
Smoking meat is definitely going to be jerky. It's definitely going to be a process.
Yeah.
I have a jerky machine that I bought. I haven't used it yet, though.
And then storing it underground. Because underground
is
cool.
What I need, though?
What's that, brother?
Know what I need, though? I need my brothers. I need my brothers. I can't do everything.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got you.
I need my brothers, man. I need you,
well,
I need you out
other.
Here. I need you helping me.
Well, we need each other. True.
No doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Because I got a taste for some of that smoked meat. I got a taste for it. But
Do you hunt down there?
You know, I put up them weapons when I got out of the military, you know, for that. But I could hunt if I ever wanted to hunt.
Oh,
man,
but you don't hunt though, you know.
No, because a lot of people just like shooting animals because the fact of shooting animals. The only way I would shoot an animal because really I need the food. But a lot of folks just shoot animals. And I'm not that type of guy. I just hate to kill anything.
Any animal I've ever shot, I've eaten. Everything you have.
Let me tell you something, I could if I had to. And I had to hit it 100 yards, 500 yards away. It would never see me coming. So, because I'm a trained Marine, so we all taught how to shoot. So it would never see me for the bullet hit it. But me, I don't like shooting animals just for the sake of shooting animals. If I had to shoot an animal, it's for a reason. And it's for self-preservation. A lot of people, they just go out there shooting
that's
everything.
A lot of people out here that are people that do the holy days and everything. That's a more acceptable piece of meat to bring than going down to the local grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they did to that meat.
Right.
But yeah, last year I shot a pronghorn antelope.
How many pounds would that thing? About 500.
It was like a fully hanging without the skins on and the head and everything. About
right.
Like 165 pounds. And gutted.
Huh?
What'd you say?
How was the meat?
Oh, it was some of the best meat I've ever had in my life. It was so succulent and fresh in the texture and the it was probably the best tasting.
Man, you got me over here looking at my hand. You got me over here looking at my hand, man. Thinking about that sheep.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a sheep, it was an antelope.
Antelope.
Yeah.
You got prong antelope. Think about biting my hand.
Mm-hmm. So when it had its head and its skin still on, you know what I mean? It was probably like 150, 160 pounds. But after it's gutted, skin off, and meat to eat, probably like 70 pounds of meat to eat.
How long did it last?
Months. It was probably like 8-9 months. I gave some meat away. I ate some meat.
Good eating, brother. It's good. That's a good eating.
Oh, just gives you a different sense as a man. I didn't have to go to the grocery store. I actually did it like our forefathers had to do it.
Right.
Esau was going out there. He was bringing back fresh deer and pronghorn animals and all that, the different types of game.
How many shots did it take you to drop it?
I was with my brother. He shot it. I did more of the muscle. I dragged it in. He took one shot.
You know what? If you shoot it right behind his forelegs, that's what's hard. If you shoot it right behind his forelegs.
Yeah, he shot him in the lungs.
Oh. If he shot in the heart, it would have dropped it. Yeah.
Well, he dropped with a little shot to the lungs. You can't breathe.
Oh, where
you
at? The heart and the lungs. The heart and the lungs. Good shot.
Mm-hmm.
What distance was it?
Maybe 400 yards.
He know how to shoot, brother.
Yeah, my brother knows how to shoot. He's more of a hunter than I am. Yeah,
right.
He's a hunter. He's good.
Hunting.
I'm more of like a warrior. Like
right.
He shot it, but I mainly dragged it in and lifted it up and thrown it in the back of the truck.
Oh, you was a gatherer. You was a gatherer.
Mm-hmm. No, I shoot things and hunt. But he's just been doing it longer. I'm kind of new to it.
Mm-hmm. So
he grew up more in the wilderness. I grew up lifting weights and playing football and running routes and brute.
Well, what'd you say? It was an NFL guy that you run him down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If I go wrestle some sheep, I've wrestled sheep and goat and baby cow and, you know what I'm saying, actually wrestling them. I shepherded some sheep and goats to get a little feel for it before I ate them and took their wool and took a little practice first before I got into it high level before I started to really get into it.
Let me ask you, Yim Yao, what team did you play for? What pro team did you play for?
I played for what plantation was I on? I was on the plantation in Missouri. And they're playing fishing in New York.
Oh, New York?
New York and Missouri, Kansas City Chiefs plantation.
Those were the plantations I was on. Yeah, they got Tyree from the New York Nets. They saying Tyreek ain't finna take that shot. Tyreek finna let it go, man. That lady said, y'all don't know Tyreek like this. This ain't no game with him.
Yeah, it's not. When you realize all of us that come from the inner city, I used to be poor. It's not that serious. Like I used to be poor. It's not really that serious. I got millions and millions of dollars in the bank. It's weird. Not really that serious.
Mm-hmm. Well, it puts you in a situation you can provide for your family. You ain't got to go back to the plantation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you woke, brother, and I'm glad you're not on the plantation anymore. And you have no inclination on going back to the plantation, and I'm glad you're my brother and friend.
Me too, man. About people. Appreciate my time on the plantation. I retired 5 years ago.
You did, but that's a good thing. I'm glad you got your right mind. Your health together, your right mind together, your family together. Because a lot of those brothers, they play a long time, man. They be having them, those be hitting too much, be hit, and then they have mental problems, mental breakdowns. Right.
That's why I retired. My body started breaking down. I could have stretched it for a couple more years. It was just too dangerous. I was like, yeah, I'm done.
Did you feel a lot of pain, Yim Yao? Were you feeling a lot of pain behind that? All those tackles and blows?
Oh, yeah. From high school to college, you don't get a new body. I can't go to Walmart and purchase a new arm and be brand shiny new. you got injuries and you still feel from, when you was a child, you still feel them as a 65-year-old man. You don't get no new body.
No, you don't.
You feel everything.
We had a meeting, Yim Yao, and Cartrell mentioned you and brother Dawit. He was an actor, and he said he's no way he's going back into that business. They're getting you brothers hooked up too. I think you have a good impact upon one another. He used to be an actor. I mean, quite famous young actor.
Yeah.
But he said he's done with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you guys would.
He knows the demons that are in that. The demon in that.
Now, so that, he said it's very demonic in that business. So, but
he's played some demonic roles.
He had an impact on him. Yeah,
he had
an impact on him. Yeah,
half man, half goon. He's played the what do they call them? Sceptors.
Yeah, he
half
did.
Man, half goon.
Yeah, because he played in that what is that movie where he was a half man, half goat?
Goat.
Yeah. He played quite a few roles. So, but he said he's not about to get. He said he don't want no part of Hollywood anymore. And
Wicked is I don't know what.
Yeah,
Hollywood is crazy, man.
Well, the Most High brought you in, ex-football player, mm-hmm. brought a ex-movie star. The Most High picks them everywhere, don't it? It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And brought me an ex-fool. And brought me, Yom Yahuwah, ex-fool. So the Most High brings them all on the page.
The ex-warrior.
Ex-fool.
Warrior.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, I was a
warrior, man.
Even that being said, I was a fool. But the Most High.
Exactly. My father and my grandfather did that same thing.
Right.
And it destroyed. Yeah, I seen the military destroyed my whole family, literally.
Yeah, and it will.
You know what I mean?
And if a brother ain't got PTSD mm-hmm. when he go in, he certainly will have it when he come out. You better believe it.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah,
oh, that's for sure.
Hey, look here. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get ready to go. Psychiatrist asked the VA, and I guess it's about 8, 9, 10 years ago. I get quite recent because they have to pay me. So and VA slick with their wording. So they asked my psychiatrist, well, if he went and got an application on a job, we're not saying he doesn't have problems because of his military service. Oh, that's verifiable. That he has PTSD. But we're trying to ask you, how can he function on a job citing with some of the things that have caused him problems? My psychiatrist, for all intents and purposes, said, he better not even go get an application, okay? You hear me, bro? He said, that function. He better not around a situation that caused him to have PTSD anyway. So he don't even need to go get an application on a job, okay? And basically, to be honest about it, it was universal white race supremacists. So and my history has showed me being confrontational, being physical with them, being violent with them after I got out of the military. And I could never piece it together until I got some psychiatric help. What's making you tick? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going back year by year, study by study, incident by incident. And the first time it popped off when two white drill instructors jumped on me in boot camp. So, I ain't never forgot that. And so, yeah, when it comes to a white dude.
Oh, that's my father broke.
Some issues. Yeah, I'm trying to exert
that's
their
exactly
authority.
What happened to my, that's what happened to my father. My father's he's a little older than you. He's dead already, but he would be like 74 or something like that right now. He was in the military. He was a sergeant in the military. He got this honorary discharge because he got called him nigger.
I almost got out like
he got
that.
A fight with him.
Yeah.
I was at
Naval Air Station in Jacksonville, Florida. And every Marine know that you don't never talk crazy to no captain. You know, I did 4 days on guard nuclear warheads under a bunker. So it was time for me to go to town. So this is the first incident with the white folk. He gonna tell me I ain't going to town. I gotta stay on Pastor Man. I went in this office, I put my finger, I said, let me tell you something, man. I hate you. I hate the Marine Corps. I hate this base. And I'm gonna do what I wanna do. So man, you know, I was a last corporal. Now you know they bust me down to private first class. And the colonel was saying, he said, my slave named Killebrew. He said, you was a nice Marine, you followed us, what happened? I said, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. So he said, I tell you what, since you had an exemplary record before this incident, I'm going to let you stay here. I said, I don't want to stay here. Send me back to Camp Lejeune. He said, no, I'm not going to send you back to Camp Lejeune. If you stay here and straighten up, either, and this is how the Most High blessed me, even when I didn't know the Most High, he said, I'm going to give you an option. I'm going to give you an honorable discharge on a speedy condition. You got a year and 7 months or so left on your 4 year. I put that on your back end or your reserve. So you now already did 2 years and 3 months. So I put that on your back end. He said, I give you an honorable discharge under medical expedient condition. All that was in paperwork. They snap it with the cap. No, that was, you couldn't get away. They couldn't deny it. They couldn't deny the boot camp would happen because I had a fellow that went in with me for my neighborhood in my same barracks that confirmed it. And they couldn't deny the fact that we were drinking contaminated drinking water in Camp Lejeune, which exacerbates PTSD. So all that stuff was documented. But the Most High looked after me. And so, yeah, they got to pay the money. I don't trust them like that, though. I still don't trust them.
Well, you can't trust them. That's exactly what happened to my grandfather. Died
right.
in the Korean War.
Right.
And my father was one. And my father, you know, to save Private Ryan, he wasn't even supposed to go to war.
Right.
Because he was only the one of his son. But my grandmother got remarried. And my father had to take on another man's last name. So he ended up going to the military.
And that made him have to go in there. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
And then you got to realize, I just turned 17, Yim Yahu. I turned 17 in October.
You got drafted?
I was in the Marine Corps in December, 3 months later. No, I volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Turned 17 in October, and I was in the Marine Corps.
Did your father go to the military?
I was just a kid. Now, say that again, bro. Mm-hmm.
I said, did your father go to the military?
No, my dad did. My uncle did. He was in the Navy. One of my uncles was in the Navy. They were in service. Mm-hmm. Some of my first cousins, they were in service.
But the draft existed maybe one or 2 years.
It was on in 73. It was on. So I could have got drafted to the Army. So, you know, I liked the Marine Corps, so I went on into the Marine Corps.
Yeah, you didn't have a choice. You just chose the Marine Corps over going into the Army.
I didn't want to go. So I know they was killing them. You could see it on the news, dime a dozen.
Mm.
I figured I was going to go into something. I wanted to go into a branch that was going to have me prepared to defend myself. And the Marine Corps was the best branch to have you prepared to fight and defend yourself.
Mm. So in high school, did you play? It's interesting. I got a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind. When you said you were 17, what did you do in high school? You played sports in high school?
I played football 3 years. I played right linebacker and right guard, first string. Right linebacker and right guard, first string.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So that's what gave you your aggressive nature. So when you came 17, you got your scholarships for football, and then that next thing was go to the military.
Yeah, I was a monster now. I wasn't nothing soft about it. I was a monster on that football field.
<No doubt.
laughs> If I didn't win the block, I won the Red Cross or hook. That's probably where they won't be at no college.
How much did you weigh in high school?
I didn't weigh that much. I was only about 6 feet tall, 165 pounds. But I that show you how much I was a monster. I mean, and you're going to make a guy 165 pounds, 6 feet tall on a line? You know that guy.
When you say you lied.
Yeah, but then I was a right guard. Yeah, I love the right guard position more than I love on that front line on the offense. Because that right guard is always.
He is a right guard at 165 pounds.
I told you I was a monster. I was a monster. I was like Nehemiah. I put them paws on
you.
Yeah. I hurt you, man. You're going
you
down.
You have to go get bigger guys. And the 70s linemen were like.
Them guys look like they come off the farm like pulling tractors, man. Them guys we were playing looked like they come off the farm pulling tractors. But they went down.
Yeah, you were.
Harder they fall. And they failed, too. Because, see, they made the assumption. Oh, this little bitty narrow guy, he can't do nothing. Man, I was all over them like a chihuahua. They said, this dog crazy. This is a crazy dog. And I tell her, I stick my finger. When I come to the line, I stick my finger in his face. I said, I'm going to get you this time.
To play at that weight. And in that position, you have to be mean. You have to.
I was mean. I tell you, I was mean to the junkyard dog.
Mean. You have to.
If I lost the block, you got a right cross or a hook, and you stop blocking. I gotta go, y'all. Look at Yim Yahoo. I love you, man. Katria, love you, and thank you for calling in. Students, we love you all. We love you, Katria, Yim Yahoo. May the Most High bless you. We love you. Shalom and good night.